possible outcome. Even though an emergency landing on water is unlikely, as the airlines tell us, they still provide us life jackets. And if only for peace of mind, we're glad they do. To do otherwise is a gamble few other airlines would be willing to take, even though the actuarial tables are heavily weighted on their side. Leeson strangely held two positions at Barings, ostensibly serving as both a trader and his own supervisor. But that fact is not interesting given the subject matter. That one man had such a tolerance for risk that he could create so much damage is not very interesting either. Both of those are short-term factors. Both would have ended if Leeson had either left the company or changed jobs, or if Barings had assigned a new supervisor to oversee his operations. What is more interesting is the culture at the bank that could allow for these conditions to exist in the first place. Barings had lost its why. The culture at Barings was no longer one in which people came to work inspired. Motivated, yes, but not inspired. Manipulated by the promise of massive payouts for performance for sure, but not inspired to work in the best interest of the whole. As Leeson reported in his own account of how he got away with such risky behavior for so long, he said it was not that the others didn't recognize that what he was doing was potentially dangerous. It was worse than that. There was a stigma against people speaking out. People at the London end of Barings, Leeson explained, were all so know-it-all that nobody dared to ask stupid questions in case they would look silly in front of everyone else. The lack of a clear set of values and beliefs, along with the weak culture that resulted, created the conditions for an every-man-for-himself environment, the long-term impact of which could yield little else than disaster. This is caveman stuff. If the people aren't looking out for the community, then the benefits of a community erode. Many companies have star employees and star salesmen and so on, but few have a culture that produces great people as a rule and not an exception. Trust is a remarkable thing. Trust allows us to rely on others. We rely on those we trust for advice to help us make decisions. Trust is the bedrock for the advancement of our own lives, our families, our companies, our society, and our species. We trust those in our community to care for our children so we can go out for dinner. Given the choice between two babysitters, we're more likely to trust a babysitter with a little experience from the neighborhood than one with lots of experience from far away. We wouldn't trust someone from the outside because we don't know anything about them, we say. The reality is, we don't know anything about the local babysitter either, beyond the fact that she's from the neighborhood. In this case, we trust familiarity over experience with something quite important, the safety of our children. We trust that someone who lives in the community and more likely shares our values and beliefs is better qualified to care for the most valuable thing in our lives over someone with a long resume but from an unfamiliar place. That's pretty remarkable. It causes some pause when we consider how we hire people at work. What's more important, their resume and experience, or whether they will fit our community? Our children are probably more important than the position we want to fill at the organization. Yet we seem to exercise a very different standard at work. Is there a false assumption at play here as to who makes the best employee? Historically, trust has played a bigger role in advancing companies and society than skill set alone. Like the couple leaving their children while they go out on a date for the evening, groups from within a society would go off with confidence, knowing that their homes and families would be safe upon their return. If there was no trust, then no one would take risks. No risks would mean no exploration, no experimentation, no advancement of society as a whole. That's a remarkable concept. Only when individuals can trust the culture or organization will they take personal risks in order to advance that culture or organization as a whole. For no other reason than in the end, it's good for their own personal health and survival. No matter how experienced, no matter how proficient, a trapeze artist will not attempt a totally new death-defying leap without first trying it with a net below him. And depending on how death-defying the trick is, he may insist on always having a net when performing that trick. Besides its obvious advantage of catching you if you fall, the net also provides a psychological benefit. Knowing it is there gives the trapeze artist the confidence to try something he's never done before, or to do it again and again. Remove the net, and he will only do the safe tricks, the ones he knows he can land. The more he trusts the quality of the net, the more he will take personal risks to make his act better. The trust the circus management gives him by providing him a net is probably afforded to other performers too. All the performers will feel confident to try new things and push themselves further. That collection of personal confidence and personal risk results in the entire circus putting on a much better show. An overall better show means more customers, and the system thrives, but not without trust. For those within a community or an organization, they must trust that their leaders provide a net, practical or emotional. With that feeling of support, those in the organization are more likely to put in extra effort that ultimately benefits the group as a whole. I will admit that there are always those who will take risks for the first time or repeatedly without the net. There will always be those who will explore regardless of who is holding down the fort. These people sometimes earn their rightful spots as the innovators, the ones who pushed further, the ones who did things that no one else would do. Some of them may advance a business or even society, and some of them end up dead before they achieve anything. There is a big difference between jumping out of a plane with a parachute and jumping out of a plane without one. Both produce extraordinary experiences, but only one increases the likelihood of being able to try again another time. A trapeze artist with a personality predisposed to taking extraordinary risks without a net may be the star attraction in an otherwise mediocre show. If he dies or leaves for another circus, then what? This is the paradigm in which someone is motivated by self-gain, regardless of the consequences or the benefits to the organization for which he or she works. In such a case, the effort may be good for the individual, and it may be good for the group, but the benefits, especially for the group, come with a time limit. Over time, the system will break down, often to the detriment of the organization. Developing trust to encourage people other than those with a predilection for risk, like Nick Leeson, is a much better long-term strategy. Great organizations become great because the people inside the organization feel protected. This strong sense of culture creates a sense of belonging and acts like a net. People come to work knowing that their bosses, colleagues, and the organization as a whole will look out for them. This results in reciprocal behavior. The individual decisions, efforts, and behaviors that support, benefit, and protect the long-term interest of the organization as a whole. Southwest Airlines, a company renowned for its customer focus, does not, as a matter of policy, believe the customer is always right. Southwest will not tolerate customers who abuse